We are happy to have Brother Newton bring us the Lord's Word this morning.
I want to read a verse from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says here, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." That's a good verse for all the young people. And not only for the young people, you know, those who walk with the wholehearted, they'll be wholehearted. Those who have fellowship with the godly people, they'll be godly. And those who have fellowship with worldly people, they'll be worldly. And I have said this many, many times, especially to the young people. Watch out with whom you have fellowship. And it's good for us brothers and sisters to have some fellowship with Peter, James, Paul and Timothy. You may say, "Oh brother, they're not here." But they listen to us, and when you read their writings, you can have a little more fellowship. And this morning I want to encourage all of us to have more fellowship with Apostle John, because he walked with God for more than 65 years. And it's good for us to respect and reverence and listen to a man who walked with the Lord more than 65 years. He was an apostle of love, and I believe he wrote this letter when he was 95. Imagine, with such a wealth of experience, it's good for us to listen to what he has to say. And I believe he has some wonderful things to tell us. And I've been personally blessed to read what he's written. And I want to turn to you, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And in every church, there are children, I mean spiritually speaking. Their sins are forgiven. Their names are written in the book of life. They come to know the Lord as a Savior. That's wonderful. We rejoice with them. We thank God for all those who are born again. But they should not remain as children. And then, second category he writes, "I write unto you young men," verse 13 in the middle, "because you overcome the wicked one." And then 13 beginning, "I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning." See, he writes again, verse 13, the last line again, "I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father." And middle of 14, "I've written unto you young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you, and you overcome the wicked one." And the middle of the first beginning of 14, "I've written to your fathers, because you've known him." That's from the beginning. We can say in every church there are three categories of people. Those who are children, we don't despise the children in the church, spiritually speaking. Those who have come to know the Lord, and they need to grow. They need to receive the milk of the word. They need to study God's word and get to know the Lord better and better, and have fellowship with other brothers and sisters. But then, there's one more category here, and that's got nothing to do with age. Like we say, normally young people below 35. But here it's not restricted to age. We can say, spiritually speaking, they are young men because you overcome the wicked one. And 14 says, "I present you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you overcome the wicked one." In other words, these people who were children, they gave themselves to God's word. They took God's word seriously. They didn't let the devil rob them of the word of God. The word of God went deep into their hearts. They removed all the thorns and thistles and all the cares of the world, deceitfulness of the riches. And because they obeyed the word of God, they brought forth fruit. And you know what's the fruit they brought forth? See, the word of God abides in you. You're strong. and you overcome the wicked one or Satan. Oh, I pray that the number of such people in the church will increase. You know, in the last month we've been speaking about commitment to the church. And these are the people who are committed to the church. They're committed to the Lord. They're committed to God's word. For they value God's word. And God's word went deep into their hearts. And they became strong. And they overcame the devil. I long and wish and pray that number will increase. Brothers and sisters who value the word of God, their strength through the church, who can say, God's word abides in me. And who can say, the devil can't have power over me. And then, there's one more category. They are fathers. They are mature brothers and sisters. Even sisters also can have a spirit of father. Those who are mature in the Lord, because they continue steadfastly in faithfulness, in obedience, in devotion to the Lord. They grow up from being children, and they grow up even beyond being strong young people. They grow up to be mature in the Lord, who can help others, who can advise others. And there's a great need for fathers also in the church. So there's tremendous scope for all of us. We come in as children, but we should not remain as children. Yeah, I understand this morning we have lots of new people who have joined the fellowship. Praise the Lord, we are happy. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't remain as children. Grow up to be strong spiritually so that God can say, you are strong. God's word abides in you. And you overcome the wicked one. And for those who are growing well, praise the Lord, keep it up. I want to say, grow up to maturity. Maybe you're growing older, spiritually. Become a mature father. So all of us can grow in the Lord. And if you're not growing in the Lord, you must see, why is it? You know, there are certain factors why we don't grow. And that's what I want to speak to you this morning about. You know, Apostle John writes so much about sin in this epistle, unlike many other epistles. See, for example, 1 John chapter 3. Maybe you can begin with 1:8. If you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We cannot say we have not sinned. We have all sinned. We have to repent of our sins and receive the Lord as a Savior. And that's why we need to confess our sins. And then He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. And even as we keep going that way, you cannot say, I come to such a place, I have no sin. John is writing this when he was 95. Apostle John said, we can't say we have no sin. Even if you are the most wholehearted brother in this church, you can't say, I have no sin. Others will be deceiving ourselves. And then 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's God's will, to bring us to a place where we don't commit sin, we don't fall into sin. But, and if any man sin, we have an advocate. In my margin it says, a friend that encouraged me. Oh, how wonderful. The Lord is an advocate. He pleads for us. He's a friend. The Father, Jesus Christ, righteousness, He's the propitiation for our sins. And not for us only, but also for the sins of the world. And after we come into the church, after we have decided to be disciples, you know what happens, brothers and sisters? Our attitude to sin changes for the better. And that's what we teach in the church. To take sin seriously. So that our attitude becomes more and more radical. And see what John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Apostle John uses pretty strong language. I like to read from the Living Bible, 1 John 3, verse 4. Who commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And the Living Bible says, but those who keep on sinning are against God. For every sin is done against the will of God. And you know that he became a man so that he could take away our sins. And there's no sin in him, no missing of God's will at any time, in any way. And yet it says, if we stay close to him, obedient to him, we won't be sinning. Did you hear that? If we stay close to him, obedient to him, we won't be sinning either. But as for those who keep on sinning, they should realize this. They sin because they have never really known him or become his. But if you keep on sinning, it shows that you belong to Satan, who since he first began to sin, has kept steadily at it. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, the James Version says, whosoever abides in him sins not. And verse 8 again, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. The person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning. Because now God's life is in him, so he can't keep on sinning. For this new life has been born into him and controls him. He has been born again. Whosoever is born of God, the James Version says, does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin. Because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Just think of it. Apostle John takes so much time to write so much about sin. In the beginning, when we were unconverted, we enjoyed sinning. We loved to sin. But when we repent, we turn from sin, and God gives us a desire to hate sin more and more. And the mark of progress is you don't commit sin, and then after some time God helps you to come to a place where you don't even fall into sin. And afterwards God, if you are faithful, God leads you to a place where you can overcome sin. Because the Bible says he that commits sin is of the devil. And I believe the Lord wants to work in us patiently, faithfully, through his Holy Spirit, through his word. And by encouraging us so that sin does not rule over us. You walk in the light means according to the light you have, according to your conscience. You're not living in any conscious sin. And that's something wonderful for us to learn, that we can have confidence before God that as far as I understand, as far as my conscience goes, that I don't want to live in any conscious sin. I'm not saying we become perfect. No. But we don't want to sin. We don't like to sin. We don't enjoy sinning. And even accidentally, if you slip up, you mourn. You grieve over it. And you jump up immediately and confess that sin. And ask the Lord to forgive you. And if you keep continually like that, you'll find your conscience become more and more and more sensitive to sin. And not only sensitive to sin. You become close to the Lord. You know, it says here in the Living Bible, 1 John 2, 28. And now, my little children, stay in happy fellowship with the Lord. That's what happens. When you hate sin, you get closer to the Lord. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, in the Living Bible, it says, if you stay close to him, obedient to him, we won't be sinning. I really believe the closer you are to the Lord, the farther you will be from sin. Shall I say that once again? Brothers and sisters, the closer you are to God, the farther you will be away from sin. Like the Bible says, avoid every appearance of evil. Nobody has to tell you, brother, this is sin, that is not sin. No, you know in your heart, I don't want to grieve the Lord. I don't want to displease the Lord. And you know, that's a mark of maturity. Your attitude to sin becomes more and more radical, like Jesus said, to pluck out your eyes and cut off your hand. What he means was, take sin seriously, and I can tell you one thing, you will not suffer. Nobody has suffered because they took sin seriously. And you know, I remember we used to sing a song some years ago. We don't sing it right now, but I just want to say a verse from that song. A godly brother wrote that song. Walking in light, sin resisting. This is my covenant with you. By this has God given a promise that it will go well with me. Shall I say it once again for many of us who don't know? Walking in light, sin resisting. This is my covenant with you. By this has God given a promise that it will go well with you. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, as long as you resist sin, hate sin, because Jesus, He loved righteousness, He hated iniquity, therefore God anointed Him with oil of gladness. Show me a brother who knows to hate sin. I can tell you, he'll be the happiest man. And I want to encourage you this morning to join the company of people who hate sin. And I pray that in the church that number of people will increase. Okay. John also spoke much about one more thing. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. First he dealt with sin. Now he speaks about the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. After we get people to be saved and to be baptized, and after they join the church, what do we teach them? Brother, you are not of the world. We have a different value system. You know, Jesus could say, my kingdom is not of this world. And the problem today is, many people who claim to be committed to the church, still their heart is very much in the world. Because here Apostle John says, for all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. If we are living in the world, we are tempted by the world, but we don't love the world. And if you are a true Christian, God will give you that discernment, that grace, to understand, no, that is not from God, I don't want that, I don't want to defile myself by that worldly attitude, by that worldly spirit. And God will help you not to love the world. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, the world can defile you. The world can pollute you. Jesus said, John 16, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I believe that's God's will. For all those who seek to grow in the Lord, the world should not have power over them. And Jesus says, oh, and the world passed away and the rest thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Many people say, brother, I don't know the will of God. Shall I tell you what's the will of God? That is a part of the major part of the will of God. Not to love the world. That's major part of the will of God. I cannot come and tell you whether you are loving the world or not. But after some time it is evident whether you love the world or the things of the world, or you learned in your heart to keep yourself, like the Bible says, unspotted from the world. And then John says in chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In other words, what's the mark of a brother and sister growing? He overcomes the world. Verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So many brothers and sisters have expressed their desire to be committed to the church. Do you have a desire to overcome the world? To overcome sin? I hope you'll stay so close to the Lord. You know, you cannot love God and the world. You cannot love God and money. You cannot love God and the worldly lust. And oh, for God's longing for a church that is separate from the world, that brothers and sisters can say boldly, I am in this world, I have to live in this world, but my heart is not in this world. Like we used to sing a song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Oh, I pray that God will increase the number of such brothers and sisters who will say, Lord, I want to be close to you. I'm living this world, but I have no desire, and I want to be undefiled by the spirit of the world. Like in Apostle Paul could say in 1 Corinthians, we have not received the spirit of the world. And many times it comes through the sisters. Not that the brothers are not vulnerable, but many times it comes through the sisters. And I want to encourage you, sisters, you must be a good testimony that I have not brought the spirit of the world into the church. You are a blessed sister then, if you are fighting always against the world and the worldly spirit. And I want to tell you, it's not easy. We have been fighting it for many years, and I hope there will be a next generation of brothers and sisters who will fight with the same vehemency the spirit of the world. Yeah, and John also speaks much about the devil. You know, we read that here, 1 John 2:13, you are strong, you overcome the devil. Yeah, we need to overcome the devil. You know, when Jesus was tempted, he always said, it's written. It's written here. Jesus didn't say it's written somewhere. You know, Jesus knew where it was written, what was written, and that's the reason Jesus could overcome the devil. Jesus could say, get behind me, Satan. Satan had no power over Jesus. And, you know, for example, John speaks about the Antichrist in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it's the last time, and you heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. You know what is Antichrist? Everything that is contrary to Christ. Jesus spoke about humility. Antichrist means all that is against humility. Jesus spoke about truthfulness, and Antichrist means the spirit of lying. Jesus spoke much about purity. Antichrist means all that is against purity. Jesus spoke about righteousness. Antichrist means all against righteousness. Jesus spoke about being in the light. Antichrist means all that belongs to darkness. And we can go on like that. All that is against Christ. And Apostle John warned so much in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Hereby knowing the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. In other words, there are some people who say Jesus was tempted like us in all points, and he overcame sin. And that's what the Antichrist doesn't like to confess. And here it says in chapter 4, verse 4. John said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. In other words, brothers and sisters, you got to overcome the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of pride, rebellion, arrogance, spirit of disobedience, spirit of impurity. And, you know, it says in another place in Revelation, they overcame him. You know who is that him? That's the devil. They overcame him, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I believe we also need to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that's why we value the blood of Jesus. It cleanses us from all our sin, and we speak the word of God boldly. And we sang a song last Sunday. The devil and I, we don't agree. I hope you're not in fellowship with the devil. I hope the devil is not your friend. I hate him, and he hates me. The more you follow the Lord, the closer you get to the Lord, the devil is going to hate you. And the closer you are to the Lord, the devil will be far from you. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Oh, I want to encourage you this morning to be close to the Lord. Never be afraid of the devil. He can't touch you. You know that? The devil can't touch you. Yeah. And it's wonderful to follow the Lord and be free from fear of the devil. He can't touch us because we are in the authority of Christ. And I want to also talk to you this morning about one more thing John spoke much about. First he spoke about sin, then he spoke about the world, then he spoke about the devil overcoming the spirit of the Antichrist, and then John spoke about something that's wonderful. I want to read this from Living Bible, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7 onwards. Dear friends, let us practice loving each other. For love comes from God. And those who are loving and kind show that they are children of God, that they are getting to know Him better. Not only we hate sin and the world and the devil, God, Apostle John's burden was that we should learn to love one another. And verse 8, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God's love. And for God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son into this wicked world to bring us eternal life through His death. In this act we see what real love is. It's not our love for God, but His love for us when He sent His Son to satisfy God's anger against our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us as much as that, we surely ought to love each other too. You know, we get to know God's love more and more and more. That's the mark of growth. Like Apostle Paul said, we get to know the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of God. And you're occupied with God's love. He first loved us. And the more you love God, the more you understand God's love, the better you can love each other. And you know, John says something wonderful here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He that says in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because darkness has blinded his eyes. What does it mean to walk in the light? We learn to love the brothers and sisters. But he's so strong and clear. He says, he that hates his brothers in darkness, and I believe it's not God's will that we should walk in darkness. And after, as I said, we are saved and baptized, and after we are filled with the Holy Spirit comes to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to love the brothers and sisters more and more. And that's why in the church we hate every unloving attitude, because that's all part of darkness. John says, the man who hates his brother is in darkness. And he says, darkness has blinded his eyes. He doesn't know where he's going, and that's why he's not making any spiritual progress. As long as there's darkness in our lives, we can't grow. And not only that, John used still stronger language. You see, for example, chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Brethren, he that loves not his brother abides in death. I haven't heard such a strong expression. When you don't learn to love the brothers and sisters, you are abiding in death. Spiritual death. First we heard about spiritual darkness. Now he says you are spiritual dead, and he goes on to use still strong expression. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But God wants to save us from all darkness. God wants to save us from all spiritual death. God wants to save us from being murderers. And you know, he wants to make us love us. I was telling my wife this morning, I said, even if a brother or sister can't preach one sentence in the church, but if they know to love and love and love, they are wonderful people in the church. Did you hear that? Even if you can't preach or testify, speak properly, but if you know to love the brothers and sisters, you are a wonderful brother and sister in the church. Oh, may the number of such brothers and sisters increase who know to love God, who know to love His Word, and who know to love the brothers and sisters. And not only that, in 1 John 2:5, John says, but whoso keeps His Word in him, verily the love of God perfected. And again, chapter 4, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If you love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfect in us. In other words, you dwell in love, and the love of God grows. And it becomes stronger. And that's how you become mature. And chapter 4, verse 16, it says, he that, and we know and believe the love that God has, God is love. He that dwells in love, dwells in God and God in him. To dwell in love is to dwell in God. To dwell in love is to dwell the brothers and love the brothers and sisters. And then God dwells in me. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. It's not so difficult, I want to tell you. To love the brothers and sisters is not so difficult. The more and more we learn how God loved us. How when we didn't love Him, when we were enemies, He first loved us. He sought our good. He desired the best for us. He overlooked all our past transgression. And the Lord says, now learn to love one another. And that was the burden of John's heart. Chapter 4, verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brothers also. And that's the kind of people the Lord's seeking to gather together. Those who love the Lord. Those who are walking in the light. There's no darkness in their lives. And those who hate the world and hate the devil. And those who learn to love the brothers and sisters. That when they come together, there's such a pure spirit of love. And Jesus said, love one another. A new commandment I give unto you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Never mind if you don't have a great gift. Can you say, I'm walking according to the light God's given me? I hate to live in conscious sin. And I'm not living in any secret sin. And I'm getting to hate sin more and more as much as the Lord gives me light. And I'm learning to love the brothers and sisters. And that's how you grow. From being children, you grow up to be a strong young brother and sister in the Lord, spiritually. And then, as you keep continuing this way, you come to maturity as a father. You learn to care for others. You don't just think of yourself. You think, how can I serve? How can I bless? How can I encourage? How can I edify? How can I comfort? How can I help? Maybe they're going through a rough time. That's the spirit of a father. He's not thinking of himself. In the children, we say, what about me? Oh, my needs are met. But as you grow along, you say, Lord, can I help the brothers and sisters some way? Can I serve them in some way? And if you continue like that, you know, John says here, he says, we do those things that are pleasing to God. Yeah, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Maybe we can read from verse 19. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence with God. And this is something that's important, brothers and sisters, to have confidence before God. Like I said last Sunday, you can stand up in attention, boldly. I am walking in light. And he says, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The mature brother or sister is learning to please God. Lord, can I please you, Lord? Is my thought, my motive, my attitude, is it pleasing you, Lord? He is more concerned about that. How can I please God? And then you learn to dwell in love. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to dwell and live in love. It's not a burden. That's why Peter said, above all, he said, have fervent love, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Oh, to have many brothers and sisters who are fervent in love. In other words, they are not lukewarm. They are not struggling to forgive others. No, they know immediately to forgive. Like we heard in the past, they don't even have to ask us forgiveness. It's forgiven. I believe the Lord wants to lead us to a higher realm where we love and love and love and grow in love, serve in love, do all things in love, and live in love, and shall I say, die in love. Isn't it a good way to die? That people can say at your funeral, yeah, I never heard him preach, but this brother and sister loved me. He loved the church. He loved God. He loved the brothers and sisters. Oh, may the Lord bring us to such a wonderful place so that we are saved from being children. We grow up to being strong spiritually as young people. And we move on to being fathers. I want to say, I wish you all success. God bless you, friends and sisters.
Let's stand up and respond to what we have heard this morning in our hearts. Remind ourselves this world is not our home. In our attitude to sin, in our attitude to the world, and that we would love one another as Jesus loved us. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. We're in transit. So let's remind ourselves all this. And that's what we are reminded of in Scripture, even in Hebrews chapter 11. They look for a city which has foundations, a city whose builder and maker is God. And it says, they who say such things, make it clear, this world is not our home.